Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. It's a blessing to be here with you. I don't know where you're at. I say that a lot of times because, well, here I sit in the recording studio, and it's so different than being in person. I know that God wants to speak to you. And we're going to talk about a prayer of Paul today, or the love of Christ, the boundless love of Christ. And this is one of my favorite passages. We have a men's group at the church, and we call it Band of Brothers. And we meet on Monday nights. We've been Zooming like everybody else because you can't meet in person. And we've been looking at some of the prayers that are written in the Bible. There are some wonderful prayers. In fact, I'm going to give you a list of some of the prayers. And if you want this list, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll email you this list. But there's books on the prayers. I think during this COVID-19 pandemic shutdown, we need to be a people of prayer. And here's some prayers. There was a prayer of Moses in Exodus 15. There's a prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. There's a prayer of Samuel in 1 Samuel. There's a prayer of Solomon in 1 Kings. There's a prayer of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. There's a prayer of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20. There's a prayer of Jonah in chapter 2 of Jonah. There's the prayer of Habakkuk in chapter 3. Those are just some Old Testament prayers. If you're looking for some New Testament prayers, there's the prayer of Mary, praising God for all the wonderful things in Luke 1. There's the prayer of Simeon and Anna in Luke 2. There's the prayer of Jesus praying for Christian unity in John 17. John 17 is just one long prayer. We studied that prayer. And Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples that are with him. And then he prays for the future disciples, which are you and I. That's a wonderful prayer. Go read John 17. It's a prayer for unity. It's a prayer that we could pray today. And then there's the prayer that Jesus prayed, submitting to God's will in Matthew 26. Boy, that's a prayer that we should pray. He says, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. That's a prayer. That's a humbling prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. There's the prayer of Peter, found in Acts chapter 10, and Peter confronts his ungodly prejudices. That's a prayer we should read and pray. There's the prayer of Paul becoming rooted in God's love, Ephesians 3. And then there's the prayer of asking God for wisdom in Colossians 1:14. If you're looking for some prayers to read and reflect on during this time, you can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I can send you just the list of these little prayers. But there are tons of prayers in the Bible. I would encourage you to take the Psalms and just take one psalm a day, if that's all you can do, and read it and pray some of those words, pray some of those verses. Our good friend Paul is writing from prison to his friends in Ephesus. He doesn't want anyone in the church to lose heart over his suffering. That's what he says in 3:13. He encourages the church to comprehend the boundless love of God that surpasses knowledge. Paul wants the church to continue in their faith and to be filled with the fullness of God in their community, even if imprisonment becomes a reality for them and persecution becomes a possibility. In this passage, Paul challenges the readers to grasp the reality that God's grace is boundless, something larger than the eye can see. Let us listen for God's prayer that encourages us to grasp the inconceivable grace and love of God. Before we do, let us pray. Gracious Lord, open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see the height and the depth, the length and the width of your boundless love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. That's where we're going to spend our time today. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Every family on heaven and earth takes its name from God. That's a powerful word. Verse 16, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of God, or to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul emphasizes the activity and the initiative of God the Father. This is not our work or our, it's not our initiative or our activity. It's not something we accomplish on our own. This work of love does not happen if we think more positively or work harder. The work belongs to God, and it's all about the superabundant gift of God called grace. Paul tells us that this work begins inside of us. Our inner being is given strength and power through the Holy Spirit so that Christ may be able to dwell in our hearts through faith. We can become rooted and grounded in love. Have you ever thought of that? The Holy Spirit helps Christ dwell in our hearts through the exercising of our faith. Christ takes root and grounds us and grows us in his boundless love. That's a wow passage. This prayer is a model prayer of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit strengthening our inner being with his power. Christ dwelling in our hearts so that we can be rooted and grounded in boundless love. Love that is deep and wide and long and tall, and then we come finally filled to the fullness of the Father, Creator, God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God. Alexander McLaren, a famous minister in Great Britain, had six sermons on this passage. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary on this passage, took 216 pages to search out the meaning of these verses. Today, I'd like for us to put to memory just one verse. And I challenge you, I would challenge you to try and memorize one verse a week. Verse 19 is the verse that I'd like for you to memorize. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Where does the boundless love of God dwell? That's a question, isn't it? Especially when we look out at what's going on in our world. Where is the dwelling of God? This was the question which a rabbi, Kotzig, surprised a number of learned men one day he was visiting. He asked them the question, where is the dwelling of God? These learned men all laughed at Rabbi Kotzig. They said, actually, what they said to him is, what a thing to ask. Is not the whole world full of God's glory? Then the rabbi answered his own question. God dwells wherever man lets him in. I would say, I'll paraphrase it, God dwells wherever we let him in. What a powerful statement. God dwells wherever we let him in. The question for us today is, where are we allowing God to dwell? I'm going to pause there and let you think about that. Where are we allowing God to dwell? Are we being rooted and grounded more and more each day with the power of the Holy Spirit? Is Christ dwelling in our hearts? In the original Greek, the word that Paul used for dwell in verse 17 means a permanent residence, not a transitory stop along the way. Paul wants to encourage the people of Ephesus that even when times get hard, the road gets long, the way becomes difficult, the journey becomes too weary, remain in the boundless love of Christ. I'll never forget little Ben. He was all of maybe 4 years old at the time. He was the son of some dear friends back in Illinois. Ben was going to have surgery, and we were living in Illinois at the time. Ben was going to have eye surgery. On Sunday after worship, Ben's family and a few friends gathered in the church office to pray for little Ben. We all formed a circle around Ben by holding hands, and we went around the room and prayed. We thought we were all done, when all of a sudden, little Ben shouted, "Hey, what about me? I want to pray." We grabbed hands again, and little Ben prayed, "Jesus, in my heart. Amen." Wow. What a prayer. Jesus, in my heart. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Jesus, in my heart, is a prayer. This is what Paul is trying to remind the people of Ephesus and us today. We're to keep Jesus in our hearts no matter what comes our way. Let's say it together. Jesus, in my heart. Jesus, in my heart. The promise of this prayer of Paul is that even when we are facing difficult situations, we can be strengthened in our inner being by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to allow Christ to dwell in our hearts so that we can comprehend how deep, how wide, how long, how tall God's love is for us. Deep, wide, long, tall. That is boundless love. In the last century, when Napoleon's army opened a prison used by the Spanish Inquisition, they found the remains of a prisoner who had been incarcerated for his faith. The dungeon was underground. The body had long since decayed. Only a chain fastened around an ankle bone cried out of his confinement. But the prisoner, long since dead, had left a witness. On the wall of his small, dismal cell, this faithful soldier for Christ had scratched a rough cross with four words surrounding it in Spanish. Above the cross was the Spanish word for height. Below the cross was the word for depth. To the left was the word width. To the right, the word length. Clearly, this prisoner wanted to testify to the boundless love of Christ, perceived even in his suffering. This soldier knew the boundless love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and becomes the fullness of God. This soldier was filled with the fullness of God even in the midst of his suffering. This is what gave him the ability to leave a witness to those who came after him. The boundless love of Christ, rooted and grounded in this inner being. Have you ever thought that living within us is the cross of Christ? The vertical, the height, and the depth of Christ, horizontally, the length and the width. The work of the Holy Spirit is to root our inner being in the limitless love and grace of Jesus Christ and to create within our hearts the foundation of faith and the grace of God. In verse 19, when Paul writes the word to know, he is talking about experientially knowing, more than head knowledge. In the Greek, it means that a person knows perfectly. Paul is not speaking here of our knowing the love that we have for Christ, but the knowing the love of Christ. In his commentary, John Calvin says, "The love of Christ is held out to us as the subject which we all ought to occupy our daily and nightly meditations, in which we ought to be wholly plunged. He who is in possession of this alone has enough. Beyond it, there is nothing solid, nothing useful, nothing proper or solid." What a statement. Beyond the love of Christ, there's nothing solid, nothing useful. John Calvin's breastplate was a heart that was a burning with a flame of love. My prayer for this church, the Seed Christian Fellowship, and for your church, and for each one of us, is that our hearts would burn with the flame of Christ's love. I pray that we would seek to know more and more of God's boundless love, to be filled with the fullness of God's inconceivable, incomprehensible, incredible, and indescribable love. There is no way this side of heaven we can fathom this truth. We can only believe it and praise God for it. Did you stop to notice that the verb that Paul uses in verse 19 to describe this love of God, that this boundless, limitless, ceaseless, unending, never limited love of God, the Greek verb is huperballo, huperballo, transliterated, and in the English, it means to outdo, go beyond, exceedingly beyond measure, surpassing beyond. Paul is saying that this love of God is boundless, beyond measure. This love of God surpasses all knowledge. In the Greek, this verb is an active present participle, which means that the action of God is continuous and never ending. Stop and think about this for a moment. God's love is never ending and surpasses all knowledge, and Paul wants that love to dwell in you and me. This love goes beyond and keeps going beyond, always will go beyond. It surpasses knowledge and will keep surpassing knowledge and always will surpass knowledge. This love is limitless. Paul's prayer is not some small prayer. Paul is asking that God would fill us with all the fullness of God. Listen again to Paul's words of encouragement, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul tells us that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, not some, not a little, not a fraction, not once a day, not once a week on Sunday, but every day, totally, completely, gloriously, sufficiently, boundlessly full. Knowing the love of Christ, being filled with all the fullness of God, is a wonderful promise we all can live in. Leighton Statchy wrote a book called The Imminent Victorians. In the book, he shared a story of General Gordon, who was called to serve in the Sudan. The Sunday before General Gordon started for the Sudan, he drove around London to a number of churches to take communion as many times as possible. In order, he said, to start this brimful of God. Well, my question is, would 6 or 7 or 8 communions in one Sunday supply more of God than one communion? So what? J. Wilbur Chapman tells the testimony given by a certain man in one of his revival meetings. This is what Chapman said. There was a man who got off at a Pennsylvania depot as a tramp, and for a year he begged on the streets for a living. One day he touched a man on the shoulder and said, "Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?" As soon as the beggar saw the face of the other man, he was shocked to see that it was his own father. The beggar said, "Father, father, do you know me?" Throwing his arms around the tramp and with tears in his eyes, the father said, "Oh, my son, at last I have found you. You want a dime? Everything I have is yours." We've come to the so what question for today. How do we make sense in 2020 of what Paul is writing about in 60 AD? How do we apply this message to our busy lives? Think of it. This man was homeless. He stood begging his own father for 10 cents. When for 18 years the man's father had been looking for him to give him all he had. Does this story sound familiar to us? Are we like the beggar who ends up asking his father for a dime? Well, I have good news. Our Father wants to give us everything. It's called boundless love. I know that I once was a beggar, looking for love in all the wrong places, the old cliche. Maybe that's where you're at right now, looking for love in all the wrong places. Stop. Look for the boundless love that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wandered. I'm going to just say I wandered around in the wilderness of life until I experienced God's boundless love. Maybe you're wandering right now. Maybe you're wondering what all this is that's going on. The words of the beggar could have been mine. I think the words of the beggar can be yours. Father, Father, do you know me? The response of the father surpasses all knowledge. Oh, my child, at last I found you. It is Paul's prayer, and it is my prayer, that we come to know this boundless love of God, that we would be filled with the fullness of God, not just today, but every day. Listen, if you don't know the boundless love of God, it's really a simple step to bow your head and declare what that famous little philosopher 4-year-old Ben said, Jesus, in my heart, amen. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your fears are. I don't know the panic or the anxiety. I don't know the doubts, the shame, the guilt. But I do know the one who can fill your heart with hope, Jesus in my heart. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, there's no better time than now. Open your heart and ask him in, and he'll come in and fill you with boundless love. Jesus in my heart. That's a little 4-year-old prayer, but it's a prayer that we can pray every day. In fact, here's my challenge for you today. I'm going to ask you to say this little prayer, Jesus in my heart, amen, for 7 days. You can say it in the morning. In fact, I would say it in the morning before your feet hit the floor. You wake up and you go, Jesus in my heart. Say it in the middle of the day, maybe when you're having lunch, Jesus in my heart. Say it in the evening. Say it before you go to bed. Say it for 7 days. Ask Jesus. Say, Jesus in my heart, amen. That's really the hardest part of the salvation story. Now the Holy Spirit, it says, seals you and brings you and grows you deep roots, Christ in you, which is the hope of the glory. How wide, how deep, how high, how long is the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the growing power of the Holy Spirit? Two famous philosophers say it all. Little 4-year-old Ben says, Jesus in my heart. And Rabbi Kotzik, God dwells anywhere we allow God to dwell. My prayer is that you're going to allow God to dwell in your heart. Let us pray. Our gracious God, your love is boundless. Help us to fully comprehend how deep, how wide, how long, how high your amazing love is for us. May Christ Jesus dwell in our hearts, and may we be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, you know us, and you love us anyway. And that is boundless love. Show us how to take your grace into our world. Amen. My challenge to you this week, say this prayer for 7 days. Jesus, in my heart. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.